Hello, welcome to another episode of Unpacking Neuroqueerness. This is sort of an unplanned episode, which is not very common for this podcast, but I wanted to come on and just give an update on what's going on with the podcast. I still have a lot of stuff planned. I have a lot of things that I want to talk about. It's also been a very busy period just in terms of life and family and experiences. I was just in a pretty long relationship. Just felt like things weren't really clicking, so I had to make a tough decision to end that relationship. Because I won't get too much into it, but I don't think I was being fair to myself or my partner by not voicing stuff that I was feeling, that I was just feeling that I just think there wasn't much of a romantic spark in between us, and not and this isn't related, this isn't just like physical or intimacy or whatever, this is more related to just a general energy of just feeling really connected to someone. So this is more, I don't want to say romantic necessarily, because yes, that's part of it, but I feel like romantic kind of gives the impression that it's, you know, sexual or physical or even, like, you know, even, like, other ways of being romantic. And it's really not, I mean, that's not all of it. Like, it's really not. It's more about, like, how do you feel when you're with this person? Do you find yourself wanting to contact them all the time, wanting to share stuff with them, wanting to reach out? Do you find yourself missing them when you're away? And those are the questions. I'm just gonna, like, this is hard, you know, dating is hard for a lot of people, and I think especially for neurodivergent people that are trying to navigate dating in a very neurotypically biased society. And I think, yes, dating neurodivergent people helps, but it's not always the end-all, be-all. And I feel like I learned that the hard way. I was dating another person who happened to also be neurodivergent, and there were things about it that were great, that I felt, like, connected and understood, and, like, I think both ways, like, I felt understood by her, and she expressed feeling understood by me. But, you know, it just doesn't mean, just because you are neurodivergent and the other person is neurodivergent, it doesn't mean that you're going to click automatically. And I think part of myself got a little bit too excited about that early on, and maybe even took things longer, like dragged things along with this relationship longer than I should have, because I felt like, no, but it has to work because we're both a neurodivergent, and I think there a lot of that comes, and I mean, obviously, like, just like two neurotypicals, just because they're both neurotypical, they're not gonna always get along. It's the same way for neurodivergence, and I think I got kind of stuck in this, you know, because I do, it is true that, like, I have found a lot easier time in general socializing with other neurodivergent people, particularly other autistic people. Because even when people have ADHD but they're not autistic, there's still a little bit of a disconnect. Like, obviously, I still have some connection with them as well, but there's clearly a disconnect. But that's not a rule, you know? Like, this is not to say that I'm going to get along with every autistic person out there. And, mind you, I'm kind of going in different directions as I typically do, but, this person that I dated is, we're still friends. Like, I still have a lot of respect for this person, a lot of care for this person, and from what I've gathered, it seems like they do for me as well, from what they've said. And I believe that. I just don't want to, like, I just want to be careful, to not assume what other people are feeling without, you know, like, them actually expressing, this is how I'm feeling, this is what this person has expressed to me previously, but I don't know, because I haven't spoken to them in a little bit, and people's minds can change, so I want to be very careful to not speak for others, but I don't know. I guess what I'm just having, like, all these thoughts. This episode is just going to be a lot about these thoughts that I'm having. But I just wanted to kind of remind people to, like, that it's okay if you don't get along with every other autistic person out there, or if you start a relationship. It's not just about getting along. You get along with someone, but, like, if you happen to be in a relationship with another person, I guess this applies to, like, if they're neurodivergent or not, really. My advice is if you've been feeling that it's not working out, that there's no spark, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, that's just sometimes how things are, you just don't feel that kind of energy. Don't ignore that. Don't ignore what your mind is telling you. I'm not saying, you know, you have to, like, end the relationship right away. I think what needs to be done is it needs to be communicated, and, In this case, with my partner, I communicated it, and it ended up coming up that being in a relationship was also feeling like a lot of pressure to her, because we spoke of being friends, and she stated that, yeah, friendship is less pressure. It ended up, like, turning out that we had similar feelings on certain things. But I had this very strong anxiety around bringing it up. And I think this is, from what I've gathered from talking to other autistic people, this is something that others tend to relate to as well, as the anxiety of, how do I bring this up? Because I don't want the other person to feel bad or feel like it was their fault or take things personally. So I struggled with that a lot, and I brought that up in therapy a lot, and my therapist was able to eventually get me to realize that I just really need, these things really need to be communicated, even if they're uncomfortable, because it's worse if you don't communicate it. And then you just let it build and bubble inside you, and that can lead to being anxious, resenting, even resenting the other person sometimes, if maybe they did something that you didn't feel good about, but then you're afraid to bring it up. That happened a lot with me, and then I would end up even resenting the other person a little bit, but they might have had no idea that they did this thing that made me feel a certain way because I hadn't brought it up. And so it's just really important to bring these things up, and that could be about anything in a relationship. It can be about the relationship itself. So I guess that's kind of a reminder for everyone, to like listen to your gut when it comes to relationships. And yeah, that's all I'll leave it at. Obviously I'm not going to say the name of this person. I want to protect their privacy, and I just want to talk about my experience with dating another autistic person as an autistic person myself. It's just a brief kind of glimpse of that. On another note, I just wanted to say I have a lot of topics planned upcoming for the podcast. Unfortunately, there's been a lot in life, as I mentioned. There's a lot of moving pieces, a lot of things. I haven't been able to get to like produce as much content for this podcast as I wanted to, but I have an exciting announcement. My friend X, who has been a guest on many episodes of the podcast so far, has agreed to become my co-host. We're both going to be hosting this podcast together starting some point next month, likely. We're already having some episodes planned out. And there will still be some solo episodes of me coming on here to talk about things. Don't worry, if you enjoy that kind of content, we'll still have that. There'll still be some interviews that I will lead on my own. There might even be a few interviews that X will lead on their own. And then there are, of course, episodes that we will be doing together, and those are really fun as well. So, a lot to look forward to. I hope you enjoy all the content that is to come. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you were able to get something out of it. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.